Is this thing on?
We are going to the Mambo Cabana.
The Mambo the what?
Vivo, this is really important. Martha needs to hear this song.
What difference can one song make?
What difference can one song make? That's the question we're on a mission to answer on the Vivo Songbook, a show where we dive deep into the story and songs of Vivo, the movie from Sony Pictures Animation, now streaming on Netflix. I'm your host, Martina Castro, and today we're going to take a close listen to Mambo Cabana. To figure out what difference that amazing song makes in the story of Vivo.
There is a place many miles away.
We pick up where we left off in episode one. We're in Havana, Cuba, and Andres, Vivo's best friend and musical partner, just got a letter from his long-lost love, Marta.
I hope it's not too late. Amor, Marta.
In the letter, she's inviting Andres to join her on stage for one last show at Miami's famous nightclub, the Mambo Cabana. And Andres is ready to pack his suitcase.
We are going to the Mambo Cabana!
Okay, you can tell that Andres is in total la-la land, but for Vivo...
The Mambo the what?
This is scary. Vivo loves his life with Andres in Havana. So, for the first time in his life, Vivo turns to Andres and says...
No, I'm not excited. We're not Miami guys. We're small town guys. We're plaza guys.
Andres is deep in the past, and Vivo is thrown into a scary future. But Mambo Cabana brings them together in the present. Can music make us travel through time? In today's episode, we'll find out as we meet the man who gives voice to Andres.
My name is Juan de Marcos González. I'm a Cuban musician.
Juan de Marcos is a legendary Afro-Cuban musician. He'll tell us about his own journey to his country's past and how he shaped the future of a whole generation of Cuban musicians, all thanks to one very special type of Cuban music.
I'm proud of being Cuban. You know, we are a small country, but we have some special flavor.
And then we'll go behind the scenes with the art team of the movie to find out how they showed you Andres and Vivo's journey to the Mambo Cabana.
In his mind, he's not in the apartment anymore. And that's when the world is complete fantasy.
The power of music to take you on a journey through time. That's coming up on the Vivo Songbook. Okay, stop and just take a listen to this music. If you're like me, it instantly makes you smile and it makes you want to dance. That, my friends, is the magic of the music of Cuba. It's what the filmmakers of Vivo set out to capture. And if you want to know about Cuban music, maybe even learn what makes it so special, you want to talk to Andres, I mean, Juan de Marcos.
Cuba is a revolutionary country in musical terms.
Juan is a musician, and he's basically a legend in Cuba. Do you remember the tres, the traditional Cuban guitar that Andres plays? Well, Juan de Marcos is a tres wizard, and also he's a band leader, so you can imagine why he was perfect to play Andres in Vivo.
I like the character a lot because he reminds me a lot of people that I knew when I was younger.
The people that Juan is talking about were some of the most famous musicians in Havana at the time. When Juan was a kid, they'd go to Juan's house to sing and play music with his dad. And even though they always had a good time...
You know, my daddy never wanted me to become a musician because for him to be a musician wasn't to have a proper career.
But as we all know, Juan did not listen to his dad. He became a musician anyway. At first, he didn't want to play the old-fashioned Cuban music his dad liked. Juan wanted to get into something he thought was way cooler.
There were two radio stations that we were able to get in Cuba. They used to play underground rock and roll music, symphonic rock, and I wanted to play that.
But when Juan decided to start his own band, his dad asked him to think twice about the music they would play. It would be more unique, he said, if they played music from their country, the music of their roots. You know, it's a little bit like a tree. If you have strong roots, you don't fall over if a strong wind blows. So that's why Juan's dad wanted him and his band to stick to their roots, to stay strong. And he was sure they would make it big. So this time, Juan did listen to his dad.
He was a charismatic guy, you know. I learned a lot from him. So when I was about 20 years old, I decided that it was time to change my mind and to turn my eyes to the music of my own country, to the music I grew up with.
Juan decided to turn to a specific style of Cuban music called the son. It's what he grew up listening to with his dad and his friends at home, and it's the most classic and traditional style of them all. Actually, it's what you hear in Mambo Cabana.
There is a place many miles away where the rhythm peaks and dip. This is pure Cuban music. The feeling, the flavor, is the flavor of the son, the Cuban son, from the late 40s to late 50s.
Juan sings that the rhythm digs in deep, and it does. The rhythm of the son takes you deep into the roots of Cuban music and history. For example, some parts of what you hear in the son came to Cuba from Europe hundreds of years ago, like the melodies and harmonies. And if you dig even deeper, you'll get to the rhythm. It's at the very root of Cuban music, and you can trace it all the way back to Africa.
Cuba is a brown country, and we were the last country to eliminate the slavery, one of the last countries to eliminate slavery. So the influence of Africa is deep.
And there are many rhythms that are common in Cuban music that can be traced back to Africa, but one is the most common and important of them all. Do you hear that? That pattern is uniquely Cuban, and it has a name. It's called the clave.
La clave is a pattern in the same way that the American music has a pattern, something like this. We have the clave, which is...
Over time, Cuban composers started to mix the clave rhythm with those melodies and harmonies that came from Europe.
They started creating a proper Cuban music, not African, nor Spanish, nor European, but proper Cuban music.
This rich history is embedded in the son. When Juan and his friends started their band, they decided they wanted to give the son a new life. So they named their band after the place where the son was first played, a beautiful mountain range in Cuba called the Sierra Maestra. Juan and his friends had taken a leap of faith and decided to bet the future of their musical careers on the music of their country's past. In vivo, that rich musical past of the son is what you hear in the song Mambo Cabana. But how would the artists make this past come to life visually in the movie? Let's break it down, shall we? Mambo Cabana starts in Andres's apartment. And that place is a little bit like our gateway to the past. It's where he and Vivo have been living for years. Look around, and you'll see the big windows, the balconies, the piano. Everything looks so real, right? Well, it's in large part because the movie's art team worked super hard to make this place, this living room, feel almost like you can reach out and touch it.
Mambo Cabana was about getting into this world that Andres and Vivo share in Havana. So all these vinyl records or these photos from the 1950s, all those Latin jazz illustrations, is that world that the Mambo Cabana sequence is made of.
That's Carlos Zaragoza. He's from Spain, and he's worked for over 20 years on movies like Pan's Labyrinth and the Madagascar films. On Vivo, Carlos is the production designer. That's the leader, the boss, really, of one of the many teams that work on the movie, the art team. And for Vivo, Carlos wanted to create something really special.
You have to bring the audience to a place that is an emotional place, so you can experiment and dig into how to bring those emotions out of colors and shapes. And that's very playful. I love it.
When you're making a big animated film like Vivo, a ton of people on the art team work together to answer questions like, what shapes and colors are the clouds going to be? Is the lighting going to change when Andres starts to sing? What clothes is Vivo going to wear? There are so many questions to answer. And in Vivo, Carlos wanted the team to go even further and try to make something unlike anything they had ever done or seen before.
The rules were kind of off the table from the get-go. It was just make this different, very, very different. Push it.
That's Andy Harkness, one of the art directors on Vivo. His job is to tell the entire story of Vivo in light and color. What does that mean? Well, if you close your eyes, go ahead. Imagine the colors you might see if you think of a very happy day. Or if you think about something that makes you feel hopeful. Or even better, if you think about dancing. For me, when I think about dancing, I see very bright colors, orange and neon pink. So this is kind of like what Andy had to do for Vivo when he wanted to paint the perfect sunrise in Havana or bring Andres and Vivo to life.
Vivo is very bright yellow. Gabby is pure magenta. And Andres is red and green.
It's the same with light. What parts of a room are going to be illuminated? What instruments will be brighter and pop out? Now, pay attention, because color and light are key ingredients to what's happening next in the Mambo Cabana scene.
Mambo Cabana, the sequence, is in Andres' imagination. But through the magic of animation, Vivo is able to see what he's thinking, too. He kind of takes Vivo into his own brain and pictures this idealistic place that he's dreamed of.
Andy knows this scene inside and out. He knows exactly how the light and the colors on screen are working with the music to bring us along the ride with Vivo and Andres as they explore this imaginary future together.
There is a place many miles away where the rhythm digs in deep.
Vivo finds Andres packing his suitcase. Andres is excited, but Vivo is worried sick. And here, this is where things start to change. Andres starts to sing to Vivo about the romance from his youth and the Mambo Cabana in Miami. And on the screen, some pretty weird things start to happen. Here's Andy again.
The back walls of his apartment begin to drop. The outside lights outside the window, which were a little blue, now begin to get more blue. Yeah, the blue of the Mambo Cabana. This is outside. Now Andres picks up a guitar and he strums it. The minute he hits it, the keys turn, they light up. Now the magic is beginning and Vivo sees it. He sees this, what, what? And he grabs the guitar, throws it in the refrigerator, actually. Suddenly the light from outside is just about to burst, and it does. It opens the windows. Vivo shuts it. He's fighting it. But eventually all that blue light spills in. And when it does, it transforms them and everything it touches into this fantasy look. It was like the light itself is magical.
What is happening?
This is when Andres and Vivo hop in a car and head into the Mambo Cabana. And the rules of the real world that the art team so carefully built in Andres's apartment, they go out the window. And now it's like you're looking at an old jazz poster. The team changed something in how they animated the scene. They went from three dimensions to two.
The world looked like that. It's pretty much like somehow two-dimensional in a 3D space.
After you step foot inside the club in the Mambo Cabana, you might feel like you're kind of in the past. You see Andres and Marta dancing and singing together, but they look different. They're younger, and they look like they're in an old movie. Then the colors start to blend and glow into different shades of a vibrant, super bright blue. You might feel like you're in this dream that Andres and Vivo are sharing.
It's something that emotionally gets you to a point that goes beyond anything that you've seen in reality.
Vamos mañana.
And then eventually we come back. We have to kind of snap back into the world again. It's a challenge, but it was really fun.
Whew, what a trip. We were on a really magical adventure in that scene. That's the kind of power animated films have, to make you feel everything that the characters are feeling. And that kind of journey that animation and music can take you on, it's a journey that Juan de Marcos kind of got to experience in his own life. Remember Juan's first band, Sierra Maestra? How do you think it did? Well, it was an instant hit, just like Juan's dad said it would be.
We were a hit. We performed everywhere in Europe, Africa, Japan, United States.
And remember the famous musicians that used to play at Juan's house when he was a kid? Well, many years later, Juan got a chance to bring some of them together to play music again. Along with other famous Cuban musicians, they created two new bands, the Afro-Cuban All-Stars and the Buena Vista Social Club. Look them up. They're incredible. And they became very famous. These two groups made albums that helped millions of people around the world discover Cuban music for the first time.
For decades, the musicians were little known outside Cuba until the 1990s, when the Buena Vista Social Club album made them a worldwide sensation.
There's nothing new in the Buena Vista Social Club. Absolutely nothing. It's the same thing that we've been doing for a century. It's the music of the 20s and 30s in the Buena Vista Social Club, and the music of the 50s with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars.
By bringing these old musicians together, Juan gave them a second chance to get on stage and to share their talents with a new generation of fans, past and future brought together through music.
I was so happy, and so proud. And I suppose that my daddy was dancing up there because his friends performing with his son. And his son was the band leader of the whole guy. Unbelievable.
Above all, Juan took it as a chance to get to honor the main person who encouraged him and led him to dedicate his life to the music of his roots, his dad.
Whatever you want to do, you have to stand on your roots. And then from your roots, you can go wherever you want, but you have to keep standing on your roots.
For Juan, standing on his roots means remembering what his parents taught him about his culture and his country's tradition of music. What does it mean for you? What I know for sure after hearing Juan's story is that wherever you want to go, deep into your roots or off to a fantastical future you always dreamt of, maybe all you need to get there is a song. Next time on the Vivo Songbook, after tragedy strikes, Vivo faces his fears and embarks on a new mission to deliver a message from Andres to his beloved Marta.
Mambo Cabana, here I come.
The person who's going to help him is a spunky and outgoing girl named Gabby. We'll hear how this very important character, Vivo's sidekick, almost didn't exist in the movie. And we'll also hear what it took to bring Gabby to life.
Hopefully, when you look at Gabby, you really have a strong sense of her personality before she even opens her mouth.
The power of music to help us express ourselves. Next time on the Vivo Songbook. And don't miss our latest bonus-ode to learn how to play the rhythm at the heart of Cuban music. Oh,
And of course, if you want to spot all the things we talked about in this episode, you can still watch or rewatch or re-re-rewatch Vivo, streaming now on Netflix.
There is a place many miles away where the rhythm digs in deep.
This episode of the Vivo Songbook was written by me, Martina Castro. Our lead producer and sound designer is Martine Chaussard. Our editor is Natasha Ruck. Luis Gill is our production manager and mastering engineer. And we had additional mixing and sound design from Giovanna Romano Sanchez. Special thanks to Adonde Media's Mariano Pachela, to Garth Bookhart and Paige Borsos from Sony Pictures Animation, Charlie Yador from Sony Music, and to our consultants, Natasha Crandall from Crandall Consulting, and Andrew Barkan and Polly Hall from the Ear Snacks podcast. And most importantly, thank you to the entire Vivo filmmaking team. The Vivo Songbook is produced by Adonde Media for Netflix and Sony Pictures Animation. I'm your host and executive producer, Martina Castro. Nos vemos. Thank you.